Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
So when they asked for that, God gave them the boldness to speak against it. So that's our responsibility to the government. The government, you know, United States is on the money, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But then he says this, and to God the things that are God's. And this may be the greater part of this passage.
The Pharisees repeatedly tried to trick and trap Jesus by asking him some pretty interesting questions. Among those, they asked if they should pay taxes to Caesar. But Jesus turned this question about finances and allegiance into an opportunity to look inwardly and examine who we belong to and who created us. With part two of a great study out of Luke 20, 20 through 26, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
We are to be in submission to our governments. Now, around the world today, there's unrest. There's unrest in different places because not only is inflation hitting the United States, but inflation is hitting places around the world. And they're getting ready for there to be major upheavals in other places where, who knows, maybe even in the United States because of taxes. But the Bible tells us clearly how we are to respond to the government. And this might be a little bit, I'm convicted as I read this. I'll just let you know that. This is a little bit convicting. Maybe there's some of you here that won't find any conviction. You're like, of course you do that. You don't do that. I do that. So I want to read you three different passages that talk about our responsibility to our government. The first one is in Romans 13, 1 through 4 and 6 through 7. I'll read this a little bit, then I want to stop and share something with you. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. This is God's word. Let every soul be subject to the government authorities. And we might go, well, yeah, but that depends on who's in charge. But when this was written in Romans 13, Nero was the emperor. Nero is the first emperor to persecute Christians. He had them arrested. He had them tortured. He dipped some of them in wax and lit them on fire to light his gardens. He blamed Christians for Rome burning when he himself lit it on fire. He asked the Senate to give him money to rebuild it. The Senate refused, so he burned it down. And when it came out that he had burned it down, he said the Christians did it, and so he blamed it on Christians. And Paul writes and says to Romans, these are people in Rome. The book of Romans was written by Paul to Romans, and he says to the Romans, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authority that exists are appointed by God. That includes our government in the United States. No government exists except given by God, and they are appointed by God. Now, I might also add that sometimes God appoints people because he wants to bring judgment upon a nation. I'm not saying that's happening now. I'm just saying sometimes, you know, you get what you deserve. Sometimes that happens. And it says, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister. The word minister means servant. For he is God's minister for you for good. God puts governments in position to handle things for us, for our good. But if you do evil, be afraid. Yoda would say, be very afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister to avenge and execute wrath on him who practices evil. For because of this also pay taxes. For there God's minister attending continually to the very things. Render therefore all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Custom to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor is due. All right? You're saying I'm not that convicted. Wait till the next one. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Therefore I exhort you first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority. You are supposed to pray for the President of the United States. We live in such a time that is so divisive. that I'm going to guess that some here didn't pray for the last president, and some here don't pray for our president. But we ought to pray that he would be blessed. We ought to pray that he would be successful. And I add this when I pray for him, and I'll do it as we end the service today. I pray that he would be successful in things that are going to help the United States, right? That are going to help us to be able to do what we do more. Now, why are we to give supplications, prayers, intercession, and thanks for all who are in authority? It goes on to say that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. God has given governments to help us live a quiet and peaceable life for this reason. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior, that you live a quiet and peaceable life, who desires all men to be saved and all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. When our government is stable and it's doing the job it's supposed to do, we're living a quiet and peaceable life, and then we can live for Christ, which is our first call. However you are involved in politics, even if you're a politician, your first call is to Christ. And your first call is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God desires that all men would be saved and all would come to the knowledge of the truth. So God has put governments in place to keep the peace so that we can do the job God's called us to do. Let me give you one more. This is Titus 3, 1 and 2. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. So there's at least something there. Speak evil of no one. When we're talking about authorities, I think for all of us to have some kind of conviction. Now, what about when the government asks us to do something that goes against God? And we had something like that, where the government began to ask us not to hold church services. And there were churches that did it in spite of that. John MacArthur, famously, in California, where they weren't going to allow them to meet, continue to meet, just kind of challenging them. I'm going to do what God called you to do. We closed our church down for 5 weeks. In Arizona, we had an attorney general who said, you guys can open your churches because they can't tell you you can close them. So we had an attorney general who stood behind us. I told Skip Heitzik that, who's the pastor of Calvary in Albuquerque, and he said, we don't have an attorney general that was behind us. He didn't say, you guys can open up and preach the gospel. He said, they said, you guys better be careful. And so we had that. So what do we do then? If we're told that we can no longer preach Christ, listen to what the disciples did when they were told that. This is in Acts 4, 18 and 19. So they called them and commanded them, this is the apostles, not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So he says, if God tells us to do it, we're going to do it, and we will then be against the government. But as long as the government isn't telling us to do things that God doesn't tell us to do, we don't have those restrictions. Listen to Acts 4, 19 through 31. This is the prayer that they pray. When they're told, don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore, they pray this prayer. Here's what my prayer would be. Don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. What they were said, you're going to be arrested and beaten. My prayer would be, Lord, don't let us get beaten. That would be my prayer. Listen to their prayer. Now, Lord, look at their threats. And grant your servants that we may have all boldness, may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place that they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. So when they asked for that, God gave them the boldness to speak against it. So that's our responsibility to the government. The government, you know, United States is on the money, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But then he says this, and to God the things that are God's. And this may be the greater part of this passage, because the image of Caesar was on the money, but whose image is on you? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that God created man in his image, so that we are created in the image of God. Now, at this point in the study, I wanted to break away and talk about how we're created in the image of God, but I'm repenting from really long sermons, which I'm sure you guys appreciate. So I'm not going to do that. But just let me say a couple of things about it. First of all, I think it's more than just the fact that we have a body, soul, and spirit. There are people that will bounce off that and say God's three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we have a body, soul, and spirit, therefore we are like God. I think there's much more to it than that. I think that God is love, and we were created with the ability to love that we would love. God created us and gave us the command to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others like ourselves, so that we are being like God when we love. That's why we want to walk in love, and we want love to be that high priority, because we have been created with that ability. I also think we've been created with creativity, that we have creativity. God created the world, and we have creativity. Now, this has been carried away by certain people. There's the prosperity movement teaches that people are little gods and that you speak your own existence into being. So you could just say, just say, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. Tell everybody you go to, I'm rich. You don't look rich, you drive a very yucky car. I'm rich. Don't tell me I'm not rich, I'm rich. And that you're gonna speak that into existence. And I say to that, hogwash. We don't have that kind of creative power. That's a new age teaching, by the way, that has made its way into the church. And this will shock them. They are not little gods, even with a small g. That's not what it means to be made in his image. Listen to the text, and we get an idea from the text. This is Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. These two verses are packed, by the way. Then God said, let us make man in our image. And right away in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we find the complexity of God in the very beginning of the Bible. Who is the us and who is the our there? Let us make man in our image. It doesn't lay out the Trinity, but who else can it be? Who has creative power? The Bible tells us only God created the heavens and the earth. That's only him. Some say there's a council in heaven of spiritual beings that were ruling and that these were the us and the our. But they don't create. It can't be them because only God creates. Listen to what it goes on to say. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and all the creeping things that creep on the earth. So it's connected somehow to being able to rule. God created us to be like God, and we had the ability to rule, and God wanted Adam and Eve to rule. It wasn't just an Adam thing. It was Adam and Eve. He wanted them to rule. Now they gave that up, and now we know the god of this world is Satan, because that has been given over to him. Satan told Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. So he had authority in the kingdoms of the world, but God created it for Adam and Eve. And then it goes on to say, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created him. So that every person in this room is created in the image of God. There's something about God that I can learn when I look at you. When you look at a coin, if you look at a denarius, you just look it up on the computer, you don't have to go buy one. But if you look up a denarius and you look at the image of Tiberius or you look at the image of Augustus, you can't really tell what he looks like. You get an idea. It's a profile picture. And what I think when I look at them is they weren't very good looking. That's what I think when I look at the coins. But I'm sure it was a likeness to some degree. It had to be because they could tell who it was. Now, when someone looks at us, they don't really see God, but there's an image of God inside of us. And I think it's more than just the ability to be able to rule or that God wants us to rule. I think there's a lot more in that image. And just like you were to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, because you were created in the image of God, you are God's. Render to God the things that are God's. And that is the things that are his, and that is you. And so we are to give our lives to him. And we will one day all be judged before him. The Bible says that one day all of the dead will rise and stand before the great white judgment throne, and the books will be opened and God will judge them. Now, a lot of people don't like this. In fact, as I talk to people about the fact that you'll have to answer to God, even if you say, I don't want to live for him, you're going to have to answer to him because he created you. And here's the response I get. And maybe you've gotten it as well. Well, I didn't ask to be created. You ever anybody say that to you? I didn't ask to be created, so God shouldn't be able to judge me. All right, well, think about what you're asking. That's a nonsense statement. Why? Because in order for God to ask you to be created, he would have to create you to ask you if he could create you. See, you can't have that. So there's something else that has to happen. And here's what happens. Life is a gift. God has given you a life. He's placed you in a world where there is choices you can make for good and for evil. And he's given you that gift. And you might not want it. You may say, I don't like it. I don't want it. I never asked to be alive. And so I'm not going to live for him. But that doesn't mean you don't belong to him. That he doesn't have, let's put it this way, instead of belonging to him, because when you give your life to Christ, you belong to him. It doesn't mean he doesn't have authority over you. He created you. He created you in his image. And he now has authority over you. So render to God the things that are God's. Now, finally, we get to the end of this text. Verse 26, but they could not catch him in his words in the presence of the people, which is what they wanted to do, and they marveled at his answer and kept silent. So Jesus was able, by saying, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but give to God the things that are God's, and the people just understood that he's telling us what's important is giving things to God. Now, a couple of thoughts for us here. Number one, be subject to the government. Right? There's all kinds of passages in the Bible, and the purpose for that is to live a quiet and peaceable life so that you can be a light that shines in a dark place. People can see Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I don't know how far away we are from the end of the world when those things all play out, but right now we are to live our lives for him until that time comes where we are taken away, that we live our lives wholeheartedly for him. Number two, if you've never given your life to Christ, Jesus said you must be born again in order to receive the kingdom of God. You have to be transformed. You have to become his. And you do that by your spirit being brought to life. And that makes you a whole new person. You become what God intended you to be with that spirit that's been brought to life and now living wholeheartedly for him. And I'm going to give you that opportunity before we leave this place today. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you as we take time to look at this passage, and that we would understand, Lord, we don't always agree with our government, for sure. We, in fact, it seems any more rarely agree with our government. But Lord, we pray for the President of the United States now. We pray that you'd bless him. We pray you'd keep him safe. And we pray that he would be successful in things that will help the United States for us to be able to live in peace and to do what you want us to do because you desire all men be saved and all come to the knowledge of the truth. Thank you for those who are here who haven't given their lives to you. And we pray that they would hear that and know you want them to come to you and be saved. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, the Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. God will adopt you into his family, and you will have a heavenly father. Jesus said, when you pray, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. You now have a Father who loves you and cares for you and watches over you when you receive him and are adopted as a child of God into his family. And if you've never done that, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. But also, if you're here and you made a commitment to Christ sometime in the past, but you didn't follow through with it. And when I say if there's anybody here who never made a commitment to Christ, you may think, well, that's not me. But if you haven't made a commitment to him and stuck to it, then it's time to make that commitment. And say, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to be yours. I want to be a part of your work. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to surrender myself to you. And so I'm going to ask you as well to respond. If you're here today, you never made a commitment to him, or you did in the past and you didn't follow through, I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just raise your hand. By lifting your hand up, you're saying, I want to live for Christ. I no longer want to live for myself. God bless you, sir. That's great. God bless you, ma'am. That's great. God bless you all the way back over on the side, and God bless you guys back over by the prayer room. That's great. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. That's great. God bless you out in the foyer. That's great. God bless you there. All right. You could put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you by the power of the resurrection. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Yeah. I am really excited for you. I prayed a very similar prayer when I was 14 years old, and I can tell you I was transformed. God did a work inside of me. I walked away at 18. I came back to Christ at 19. And again, God did a transformative work in my life, and God's going to do the same for you. There's a new believers table out in this foyer. Make your way out there. We want to give you a Bible, a new believers packet, let you know what we've got for new believers that you might be able to come out of the starting blocks running really well for Christ. All right. Now I want to pray for you. And I want to pray for you based on what we've been covering today. And because I think it's hard for us not to get caught up in all the divisions that are in the United States today, I want to pray that we would be doing what the Bible says when it comes to being subject to authorities and to praying for those who are in authority. And we want to pray for them right now. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. And I'm going to ask you, men and women, to lift up your hands, and I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for everyone who is here. Lord, forgive us when we speak evil of our president. Forgive us when we aren't subject to authorities. And thank you that when they ask us to do something that isn't biblical or that you don't want us to do, we'll obey you rather than this government. But Lord, I also pray that we would have a heart for them, that they would get to know you. And thank you that they provide a place for us to live in peace. And we pray that that would continue because you desire all to be saved and all to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to bless you before we go. And I like to use the one out of Numbers that says to speak the name of God over the people in this way. And it has the name Yahweh or the Tetragrammaton, YHWH, in it three times. When it says Lord, that's the Tetragrammaton. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you and give you peace. May you find yourself living a quiet and peaceable life because God desires all be saved and all come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's our first call. Whatever we do in politics, whatever that is, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying our first call is that we are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden there for Christ.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.